Ms. Harris, how did you give your students tests?
Now, in addition to what we've already said, sometimes I might write some sentences on the board. And then I would ask the student to do certain things or to tell me certain things about that.
You did that collectively as a group?
Right. Uh-huh.
Would you pick each individual person out?
No, everyone did the same thing that way. Say if I gave 10 sentences on the board, I might ask something about subject-verb relationships, the number. You might ask about person, the pronoun, the kind, the clause, the kind of clause, just whatever we were studying at that time, because you didn't have to have 100 sentences to see what a child knew.
So what was basically your test?
We did write, too. We would, I had their literature, and we would write, and we would do poems and things like that.
But as far as the curriculum changing over a period of time, in other words, the same things you taught in 51 were pretty much basically the same things you taught before you retired.
Well, I will say this, that one time I don't know, it may have been 30 years ago, time doesn't mean that much to me now. I kept hearing about the new English, the new English. If you don't know that, you won't be able to teach in a year or two. There was a workshop being held at Jacksonville at that time on the new English grammar. So two other teachers and I got together and took that workshop. And I was so pleasantly surprised when I learned what the new English grammar was that I didn't worry anymore, because she was showing us the new English, and it was exactly what I'd been doing the entire time. So I wondered what English teachers had been doing, if they called that the new English.
What year was that you went to the seminar?
It was just a 1 week workshop. I couldn't tell you. It would have been some 30 years ago, then. I really don't know.
Yeah, from the time frame of when you started teaching in 51.
It was near the middle to the last part.
Of the 50s?
Of my teaching career.
Oh, okay. So that could have been up into the 70s then, that this new...
No, it wasn't in the 70s. It had to have been probably in the latter 60s. I said it wasn't in the 70s because my husband died in 74, and that was prior to his death.
Okay.
You mentioned once, though, that this is in connection with history. And what else? Education?
Yes, ma'am.
I just thought a moment ago that, in speaking of Roosevelt's New Deal, I did mention, I believe, about my dad plying up some growing cotton, already budded some cracking to open. But I can recall, too, when the government would have projects, some people were trying. And in this area, you went to Barfield School Auditorium, and the trained people showed someone from each farm family how to make mattresses from cotton, because they were attempting to use all of the cotton that they could have used in order to get this extra cotton off the market. So each farm family could get 1 to 2 cotton mattresses. They would furnish the tips and the cotton. All you had to do was to come there and let someone show you how to make them. They also gave material for cotton comforters, and they were made there. And along in that same period of time, each farm family was allocated so many dollars worth of cotton stamps, it was called. They could go to a dry goods store and buy all the cotton material they could get for that amount of cotton stamps. And you see, that was helping to get some of the cotton off the market that had been flooding the cotton market for so long.
And causing prices to go down.
Right. Yeah. Because as prices went down, as I said earlier, the farmers had to compensate for trying to grow more cotton. Well, the more they grew, the cheaper it got, until they were practically working for nothing. Had they not had their own cows and milk and butter and hogs and chickens, corn at home, they could not have lived.
Was the school integrated at any point? Your teaching career?
Yes. We did have integration coming to Barfield. I don't know what year, the latter part of the 60s or 70s, but we had no problems at Barfield.
No racial problems?
No racial problems as such. You always have problems, but I'm talking about big issues. Because those coming to Barfield could have gone on to Langville, I guess. And I used to think that country likes to go to town. So the ones who came to Barfield came because they wanted to go there rather than to Langville. We had some very slow learners, of course, but we had some that were outstanding. In fact, I recall one black boy in the eighth grade when we'd take these, what do you call it, certain tests that the state provided. His English grammar grade was, I don't know, about the second year in college. He was very intelligent. And he was just as nice as he was intelligent. In fact, later, too, he did graduate, I believe, from the University of Alabama. I don't know about him, but he's now one of the employees in the office of the Alabama Power Company at Anderson. Very good job in the future. So we had a lot of good black students. We had some black whites who were not. We had some who didn't care to learn, but we always have that in blacks and white. But as far as having just nitty-gritty problems with racial integration, we didn't have that at Barfield. I can remember, though, the first year that blacks were supposed to go to Lima, hearing about this man whom I knew going, and when he saw the blacks come, he took his daughter out of Lima school. But we didn't have any of that at Barfield, thank goodness. So we were blessed, you know, that we were saved some of the major troubles.
Did the blacks and whites in the classroom, did they look at, did the black students look at the white students as being different? I know they were different. There were some differences culturally. And in other words, you taught the white students up from 51 until integration. What kind of effect did the integration process have on the white students? Did they look down on the black students, or did they receive them pretty openly, or what was their feelings toward their reactions toward the integration?
Well, that's, I haven't thought about that particular question, but I think they, the same as teachers, were there for a purpose. And it was like getting in any new student. You were always anxious to see how he performs and how he behaves. And when performance was good and behavior was good, then that caused for, of course, better working conditions. Now, of course, I guess we'd always say this. There are some problems, but we didn't have any major problems. As I said, we had some who were slow students, but they chose to come to Barfield. We had some who were very smart, and they chose to come to Barfield. So.
What was your percentage of black students there?
We didn't have many blacks.
Not many.
And I recall in basketball, like for cheerleaders, I guess you could say our principal was a little farsighted. Many schools were having problems because they were not having black cheerleaders elected. But I remember our principal saying, now we're going to have one black cheerleader.
This was in the first few years you taught?
No.
Or the first few years of integration.
Right. So we didn't have to come to grips with being forced to add blacks to the cheerleading group and things like that, so that within itself helped to avoid some of the problems that did develop at other places.
What did the blacks?
Now, we weren't clear problems, don't misunderstand. I don't recall any major problems because of that. Of course, we had a lot who were very, very slow, and it took time. But then along came the special education groups when some of the slow whites and the slower blacks were placed in that, and that did help us in junior high school, because the time was I could get some students into my 7th grade English class who just could not do anything, really. You try to help, but they were just very, very slow. So I think that having special classes for them helped, because black and white both could go through.
At what point did they pull the students out and have special ed classes?
Oh, quite a while ago. I don't remember.
But your first, say, 10 years or so, they didn't have that?
Oh, no.
For slow. In other words, you were a teacher of students that ranked
all on them
differently.
Everybody.
In their abilities.
Right.
From bottom to top. And you had to meet each specific need of each student.
Well, Now, when you got some who could not do, that was bad. Because you could not take time to, say, an eighth grade English to go back to the first grade to give that kind of help. But on the other hand, if you had some slow learners, and you were, well, I don't necessarily mean slow learners, but some who were not doing as well as they should, and you had to repeat your instructions quite a bit, then those who were doing fairly well learned much by listening to them, you see. It became entrenched into their thinking until that English grammar would stick. So I kind of, I never had a class of just all ability grouping. No, they were always. But it helped those, so long as you didn't have those who couldn't do it all.